right. Well, I think that's the end of that song. This is
it's
Adam
a great
Cochran.
Song. I like that one. It's a good introduction into
I
our
like
show.
I like the Indian one before that, too. It's fantastic.
He's got great music all through there. Yeah, I'm always getting on looking for some of his music. It's very, very good.
Hey,
welcome to the Noontime Public Affairs here at KAFM Radio, 88.1 Grand Junction, Colorado. My name is Rick Castellini.
And I'm Adam Cochran. I was just looking at the massive icons we have here.
Those are lovely. It's
real
that
easy
about.
To tell.
On Ubuntu, you can make giant icons.
That's cool.
That's very cool.
Hey, we better.
It's a Noontime Public Affairs. Rick Castellini, Adam Cochran here. Our website is helpmerick.com or talkingdigital.org. You can go either place. And we answer
both.
Questions. Go to both.
Go to both.
Don't go to either.
Go to either one because you're not going to find much on talkingdigital.org that's going to be helpful. Might be interesting. But not helpful. Your site, Help Me Rick, is going to actually help people.
You can learn something there.
You'll learn something. That's right.
But you can learn something right now, too, by calling us at 241-8801 extension 1. 241-8801 extension 1. If you're listening on the web from out of the area, the area code is 970-241-8801 extension 1. Or if you're really high-tech and you're not Steve Beauregard or whatever that guy's name is from the Sentinel, you can Twitter us a question at Talking Digital or at Help Me Rick. Did you get that reference?
I didn't see that, no.
Did you hear
about
it?
What did he talk about? What was it?
He had an article basically just slamming Twitter as just something that people put, that they use to tell people what they're eating, what they're doing for lunch.
Yeah.
But, again, I'm not going to get into semantics because... Well, not semantics. I'm not going to get into arguments because if you don't educate yourself, you can't talk about what you want to talk about. So
I'll leave
it at that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Steve, if you're listening, feel free to call us and we'll educate you.
Well, boy, you're starting out a little controversy
How about
there,
that?
But I have to agree with you. I have to agree with you.
You need to read the article if you haven't read it.
Well, I'll tell you what. As Balloon Boy was flying over the United States, I wasn't getting my information from the paper about what was going on there as it was happening. And I also wasn't getting my information on TV either. And as the TV reporters were talking about Balloon Boy floating over the... They were getting their information. They're saying, somebody on Twitter just says that there's... And what do you know? I mean, that's... I don't know.
After they told you what they had for lunch.
After they told me, of course, while I'm eating my lunch. Of course, I have to say I did just tweet that I was eating a burrito while I was waiting to go on air here at KFM. So I can't say that I haven't tweeted about what I eat for lunch. But
well, and I think what we should do is we'll talk about that just for a second, because I think that the way you use any technology is an individual thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're following people that are just twittering nothing but about what they're eating for lunch, then you shouldn't be following them. And the whole purpose of the system is for you to engage with and listen to folks that you're interested in.
Two-way communication.
Exactly.
Hey, we might have Steve here on the phone right now.
Hello.
Hey, welcome to KAFM. This is Adam Cochran with the Technology Show here on Public Affairs. What can we do for you?
Yes.
It's not Steve.
Calling from York, Pennsylvania.
Cool.
First time I've heard you, other than your... website had the MP3, which I downloaded your
cool.
last
Excellent.
Month.
Appreciate that.
Sure.
Well, what can we help you with?
I got several questions. I don't know how many you can take. Can you take one?
The
two,
first
three?
One is free. Yeah. The rest of them are $9.99.
How about one question and then a follow-up question?
We'll see. Just go for it. We'll see how short the questions are. Sometimes they're yes or no.
Right. I understand. I've got a need to back up my PC, and I noticed on your website you have two backup programs, NTIUS.
That's the NTI backup,
And Shadow Force?
Yeah.
That's their product, Shadow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, NTI Shadow is, they have a couple things. They have Backup Now, which is one of their bigger products. There's a lot of different things, including backup to CD and DVD. And then the NTI Shadow, which I quite frankly I haven't looked for a while.
Are they still in business?
I don't even know. Well, NTI is still in business, but I'm not sure if they still make the Shadow. But one of my other standbys that you may or may not saw on there or seen or, well, yes, what? I don't know what I'm saying here.
Sun.
I don't know if you read or saw the link, is Second Copy. Did you see that one on my website?
Oh, yes, I did.
Second Copy is my old standby, and it works fabulously.
It's a good one.
In fact, it was I think that's what NTI kind of modeled Shadow off of.
Mm-hmm.
And it works extremely well. It's not free. I think it's either $19.99 or $29.99, but worth every penny because it's so flexible and so reliable.
Well, but let's take it to the next step. The whole world has changed since we were really recommending those programs heavily.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have programs out there like Mosey.
The online backup.
And the online backup stuff, too, which doesn't necessarily replace it, but it could.
Mm-hmm.
And Carbonite is out there. I've heard a lot of advertisement for them as well.
Yeah, Carbonite is, I think Carbonite now has actually kind of, they're getting pretty competitive with their price, and I think Carbonite is about $4.50 a month for unlimited backup. With Carbonite, I've seen on Macs it runs pretty good. On PCs, I've seen that it does kind of slow the system down just a little bit. Mosey is the one that I think we typically
I'm partial
use.
To Mosey.
One?
And then another one is Dropbox.
Yeah, Dropbox is good. It's a little more expensive, though.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't mind paying, like you say, that's 19 or 29, whatever it is. But somebody steered me towards Komodo. I don't know if you're familiar with that backup. It's a free backup.
I've heard of Komodo Firewall, but I've not heard of a Komodo backup, no.
Yeah, it's software to back up. But I looked it over, and it's just a,
Is like, that with a K or a C-O? A K or C? K-O-C-O.
It's C.
C-O.
Oh, it's C-O. Hmm.
Komodo.
Okay. Well, you know, I am getting more and I'm more and more partial to off-site backup than on-site backup. It's good to have an online backup, but I would recommend, a local backup. But I would recommend if you're going to do a local backup, it's probably, if you're going to go to the trouble, I would just do it manually and back up to an external hard drive and then spend my money on actually putting an off-site backup or an online backup up like Mosey or one of those, because those back up to the internet. It makes it so your data is available from anywhere that you go. And if you get a whole new computer or have a total hard drive crash, your data is, nothing's going to happen to your data there. It's going to be on the internet.
Right, right. Okay. I'll follow your advice on that one. I did buy a Western Digital 250 gig, so I've got plenty locally, but you're right. Always protect yourself with a secondary.
I've just seen, I've had previous clients, and I think Rick's had the same thing where they have a fire or they have somebody break into their house or, a total
electrical.
A meltdown of some sort that cooks their electrical equipment. And if that happens, then their backup isn't any good anyway. So I think an online backup.
Well, the biggest thing, too, I think, Adam, for online backup, too, is that it's going to happen automatically. It doesn't rely on the user, and we are the weak link in a backup system because we tend not to do it.
Right. Sure. And I see Komodo here. I did look it up. I haven't seen how much is free, but I'm betting that they aren't totally free. Let's see.
Yeah, and it is an online backup.
It is an online backup. But I haven't found their thing. I
don't know
most
much about
of these services
one.
Give you 2 gigabytes for free, and then they start charging you when you get past that.
Well, what other question did you have there?
Yeah.
Yes. I know one has to be cautious about downloading files, especially things that come in on the emails, especially EXE files. But so often I'll go to websites and they'll say, download this PDF.
Mm-hmm.
Is there the same risk in doing a download PDF versus an EXE, or are you safer there?
Well, again, the rule of thumb with downloads is anything is safe as long as you are absolutely positive what the source is. So that's the absolute answer, including EXEs, pictures, PDF files, anything. But also, any of those kinds of things can be made to be malicious. So if you're downloading a free report from a site, from a gentleman that you've never heard of or a website you've never heard of, and it seems a little bit flaky and you're just not quite sure if downloading this free report on how to make $5,000 a day is legit, it's probably not legit.
Probably not. Right.
So as long as you're cautious, as long as you are being objective about where you are and the things you're trying to do, but the most common way people get bilked with bad software downloads are screensavers, desktop wallpapers, free utilities. People love to download utilities for cleaning their registry, for speeding up their machine. All these little tactics that are used to draw someone in. Ringtones is another big one where people will try to get you for downloading ringtones. And then, of course, it won't even go into the whole free downloading of music and movies and even programs that can get you into trouble too.
Right, yeah, those are fraught with hazards there. You're absolutely right.
All right.
So a PDF...
PDFs are generally safe. Yeah, PDFs are generally safe.
Safe, okay. Well, one last one.
Sure.
You know, when you go on the Internet and you open a couple of tabs, I usually use Firefox, and they're reliable sites, and then I walk away from the computer for an hour, 2 hours. Is it better to shut down the Internet connection entirely, or is there any risk in leaving those tabs open, like if you go to Gmail and then you shut down, leaving the Gmail open? Is there a risk there?
I think there's a very, very small risk, but again, if you're keeping your Firefox updates up to snuff, and you, again, as you mentioned, are on sites that you trust that are well-known sites that are for security, then I don't think you have any problems. You have firewalls set up and you have antivirus and those kinds of things. I do that all the time. I'll walk away, and in fact, on the weekends, I'll have a couple of browsers open with multiple tabs. So when I'm kind of popping in and out of the house, I can quickly look at my email, look at weather, things like that. So no, in the long run, as long as your computer is safe in general, I don't think you have to shut everything down.
No.
Got it. Hey, I really appreciate the advice.
Babe, thanks for calling in from out back east.
Back east is right. Okay, right. Thank you.
Thanks. Right. Bye-bye.
All right.
That's a cool call. 970-241-8801 is the phone number, 970-241-8801, extension 1. You do got to put the extension 1 in there. Or you can Twitter us at Help Me Rick or at Talking Digital.
Yep. We're keeping an eye on Twitter now.
So the Komodo it's an online one.
It is online, and it says it's free. I didn't get all of I couldn't find anywhere where it had any limitations on it. That makes me worry.
Yeah.
When I see somebody say it's absolutely free, just send us all your data for free.
And the one thing I saw on the 800 numbers over here, it said +1.
Yeah.
That usually indicates to me it's a foreign website.
I'm a little worried. Yeah. I'd be a little concerned about that Komodo. Not that I don't know anything about it.
Right.
There's just too many indicators there that they're giving me some red flags.
So make sure
hopefully it's good. But
make sure those red flags are not justified.
I would let somebody else experiment with their data before I experiment with mine on that one.
Well, and speaking one last thing on backup, since that's one of our favorite soapboxes, is I am totally on board with the online backup as well.
Right.
But as we've always talked about, don't ever rely on just one backup source.
Exactly.
Because one thing I was just thinking about the other day was X-Drive. X-Drive was one of the very first online it was kind of a backup system, but basically it was a depository, kind of like Dropbox is now. And it was up for quite a few years, and then AOL bought them, and then about a year and a half later, they went out of business.
Right.
Now, they did give you lots of warning saying, we're going out of business, pull your data off.
Right.
Same thing happened a couple of years ago with Yahoo's photo service. What was that? They had a...
I thought it was just Yahoo Photos, but did they have another name for it?
Well, when they bought Flickr... They closed down the Yahoo photo service, but they didn't port it.
Right.
And so you had to pull your stuff off if that was the only place it was. So be aware that when you're using these services, that they may or may not be in business for the long haul. And as long as you are keeping tabs on where your data is and how the business is doing, you're going to be safe. But just be that as a little warning out there that you got to keep an eye on your own data.
Yeah, a few years ago, all the online photo places started going out of business. Like,
what was the one I used to use? I used to use one of those online printing places, Photo, before I moved to Shutterfly.
Oh, there was Ophoto. Is that the one?
Club Photo. That was one I liked quite a bit. And then they went out of business.
Yeah.
So you got to keep an eye on it. All right. Well, 241-8801 extension 1 is the phone number here at KFM. And if you have any questions regarding anything, give us a call.
Yeah.
Technology related. I shouldn't say anything. Technology related. I did get a chance, Adam, this past weekend. I was near one of the Verizon stores.
Okay.
And I stopped in and took a look at the Droid. Have you seen it yet?
I have.
I liked it.
I like almost everything about it. I hate the keyboard.
I do too.
But I think the keyboard is a piece of tape.
But the thing is, to me, the on-screen keyboard, and it's because I've been using the iPhone for so long, was perfectly adequate.
Yeah.
And I would probably never pop open that.
Really?
Which would mean that I probably wouldn't get that. I'd get the HTC Hero.
Yeah, I think the Hero is a really nice phone, especially when they get it up to Android 2.0. I think it's going to be a really nice phone.
Yeah.
I've played the one I did play with that I liked quite a bit. Also was the Samsung Moment, I think is what it is.
Is
very
it also
similar.
Android?
Yeah, it's Android also, but it's Android 1.5. Same slide-out keyboard. It feels really sturdy. It's a heavy phone,
now the
which
new,
may be a good or a bad thing.
I thought
thing,
the Verizon guy
phone.
Told me that the new Hero at Verizon is Android 2.
It might be the new one.
Is that true or false?
Well, I don't know. I know the ones that's out, the one that's out on the shelf right now
mm-hmm. was the older
1.
Android
5. Okay. Yeah. So.
And for those to think we're speaking
how about we go
Klingon.
Decipher.
Yeah, Android is the Google operating system for telephones.
Right.
Is basically what it is. And it's to compete with the BlackBerries, to compete with the iPhones, mm-hmm. to compete with the Palm operating system.
Right.
And who else is out there? Symbian.
Yeah. It's just the concept you should be able to get to all your information and be able to do things with your phone wherever you're at easily. In fact, easier, simpler,
we've
you
been
do,
using Twitter too much.
I know. Then you do with your computer. So, you know, to going into a program on your iPhone, you just click on the icon for that program, it logs you in, and you're ready to go.
Right.
And, you know, it's that sort of thing.
Very intuitive,
phone.
Very quick.
Yep.
Instant on.
Yep.
I think a lot of people are real excited about a mobile internet connected devices, which is one of these new terms, ICDs, but a smartphone, is that there is no boot up time.
Right.
On your computer, if you're off and your computer, if you turn your computer all the way off, you can have anywhere from a 90 second to a 4 minute boot up before you can actually get functional. The nice thing about a smartphone is I can check my email and just literally instant on. Whereas on my computer, I'd have to turn it on, boot up the browser or boot up the program, wait for all that to happen. And I think we're going to see, Adam, and well, in fact, that's big news. It just came out this week. It's rumor, but it seems to be becoming more news than rumor, that Google is releasing their desktop operating system, Google Chrome, coming up, Chrome OS, we call it Chrome OS, in the next couple of days.
Right.
Did you hear that?
I did.
And it seems to be
my notebook, my netbook, all ready to go.
Yeah, don't you think that it's it seems like it's going to happen? I mean, there's been a little bit of scuttlebutt, but now the scuttlebutt seems to be almost it's happening.
Let me give you a quick example, just a thing I'm doing right now that relates to how your telephone and your computer and all those can be related. As I was thinking about things to talk about on the show, I wasn't around a computer. I didn't want to write it down on a Post-it note, so I turned on my phone and I logged into a website.
I lose Post-it notes.
Yeah, me too. I don't see any. Not when you have Evernote. I logged into a website, a little program on my phone called Evernote, and anybody can go to Evernote and set up an account. But I went into the Evernote program. I typed in some notes for today's show, and I saved them. And now I just go to the computer here at the station, go to Evernote.com.
It's not your computer.
I log in, and there's all the notes that I made. So it's it makes information ubiquitous, whether it's your email, your Google Documents, you know, it's just a great way of just keeping track of everything, and that's where phones are headed. Not all phones. People who want a simple phone can still get a simple phone.
Well, and in fact, I had a client this morning who mentioned that he would be interested in potentially getting an iPhone or an Android or something to that line, but he doesn't like the $35 a month extra upcharge for the data.
Makes sense.
And you can't really use these phones without having the data.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, there's no purpose to it. It's
exactly.
just a regular phone. Yeah.
But I think the more we see these things happen, we're going to see the prices come down. I mean, already Sprint introduced their unlimited plan.
Yeah, I wouldn't be as surprised if in a year or so Sprint does away with any plans without data.
Right.
I just think it's going to be part of their plans. Sprint has the $100 a month everything.
Unlimited
plan.
Everything.
Yep.
And that
unlimited everything, not voice. Voice is still, you still buy 1,500 minutes or whatever.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But
I thought
you
it
do
was
have unlimited data, unlimited.
Are you sure
text.
It's not unlimited voice?
Yeah.
So
no, if you want unlimited voice, it's like $150.
So it's not unlimited everything?
No.
So
not for the 99.
They're lying.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's. the thing is how much voice. But here's the thing, though.
Look that up.
On Sprint, you do unlimited mobile to mobile, no matter who. So
right,
that's
I know
unlimited.
That.
But as far as minutes go, if you call home phones, we can look it up.
Yeah, look that up, because maybe I just misread that. But I think, again, with more competition, if we're allowed to have competition anymore,
right.
that's going to drive prices down.
Right.
And again, more people that get on and use these services, that also spreads out the cost, and therefore you can bring the cost down.
Right.
And that seems to be a concept that gets lost in our current environment, but that is, I think, a fact of economics that I do know of. So I think keep an eye on it. The other thing, though, is you also got to remember there's always a price for utility.
Right.
So if you want to get from here to Denver in a snowstorm, you could probably do it in a 1964 Datsun 280Z. I don't know if they made them in 64. We'll say a 74.
That's okay.
We'll say a 74.
That works.
Or 240Z from
1970. 240Z from 1970.
There, yeah, there you could make it from here to Denver in probably about 10 hours and sliding off the road up and down a few hundred times between there and there and be scared to death.
Right.
But you got there in a very cheap car. You could also get there by taking the bus, which is very cheap, but also sometimes scary. But then you could also get yourself a four-wheel drive and drive there a little safer and probably a little quicker. But the price goes up with the more convenience. And I think that's part of it with a smartphone is that you have a lot of utility and it replaces a lot of machines. I've been very, very happy with overall. It's not going to replace my digital camera, but for just snapshots through the day sometimes, my camera phone does just fine.
Right.
For getting on the internet, for just looking up things like road reports or looking up weather or checking my email, it does fabulous. I don't have to have a laptop or a computer with me. For doing what Adam just talked about, which is making notes to yourself through the day, including voice memos. So it replaces a voice memo recorder. It replaces a small camera, kind of a cheap camera, but it does replace that. It replaces GPS on all of these new devices. It replaces an internet device. It replaces an email device. And it's a phone. I mean, you forget about it amongst all the other things these smartphones can do, it's still a phone.
Right.
And I think that's kind of cool. Did you find out our price?
Yeah, but I don't understand the difference. Here's the problem. There's a Simply Everything that gives you everything.
Okay.
You see that? Unlimited web, surfing, all that for $99.
Does it say voice? Unlimited talk? Unlimited talk.
But look down here.
Okay.
That's okay. Now turn it. Now look at this. Then there's the everything.
Everybody's looking. Everybody looks over my shoulder.
This is what I have, is the everything data plan.
Okay.
What's the difference? Because it has minutes to it.
See, that's what I'm not sure.
Okay, that's where I'm confused too.
That's what I say. So, you're the Sprint customer anymore. So
well,
from what I understand,
if you have multiple phones,
you have to do the second one.
You have to do the second one.
Okay. Well, I think that's it. I think you're right, because if you're sharing the minutes,
they don't let you share unlimited.
You can't share unlimited everything.
Right.
But if you're a single person...
Yeah, if you're a single person, you can get unlimited everything for $100
a month.
That's
what I thought. Okay, good. All right.
At least
they weren't lying.
That's terrible radio.
I didn't want them to lie to us.
Let's talk about something interesting. You want to talk about Christmas gifts?
Well, I think we usually do that this time of the year.
Let's do it.
Talk about shopping.
Holiday gifts.
Holiday gifts. Kwanzaa.
That's it.
Hanukkah.
There's a lot of holidays
and Christmas
this time of year. Yeah.
So whatever you're shopping, or if you're just shopping for an anniversary present, a birthday present. And right now, since our last show in October, Windows 7 was released.
Yes.
So Windows 7 has now been on the books about 3 weeks. I think it was about 3 weeks this week.
Yep.
And it's so far holding up pretty
well.
Have
you seen any indicators that there's a problem that Windows 7 can have sometimes that's a bear?
I haven't yet.
Had this nasty, right off the bat, you had this nasty thing where you couldn't go in. With Windows 98, you should be able to go into DOS and fix things and work on it. With Windows XP, they kind of took a lot of that stuff out. So right away, you saw some of the limitations of it. You haven't seen anything like that yet for Windows 7?
Not yet. And a part of it, I think, is where we've all been so downtrodden by Windows Vista.
Right.
And its lack of pep and its lack of just, Bill Gates wanted us to say wow about Vista. And very few of us said wow.
Right.
And I think we were so disengaged with Windows for the last couple of years that Windows 7 is almost like, whew, finally, we have something decent.
Yeah.
So in my own mind, I'm trying to think, is it really good?
Yeah, right.
Is it really good? Or is it just me saying, it's a lot better than Vista?
Better than Vista. What I think. I still think that that's a plan of Microsoft.
Right.
That Microsoft releases a horrible operating system just before they release a good one.
Right.
So that everybody will rave about the good one, because otherwise people will just complain about the good stuff. One thing I noticed with Vista, and I think is true with Windows 7 as well, is Microsoft has really done a lot to progress on one of the big problems with Windows XP, and that was reset loops. You had a virus or something like that, and it just hit this loop where you just couldn't get into it and do anything, and you basically had to erase the computer and start over. And I didn't see that much at all with Vista. which is really good. And so hopefully that same thing continues.
That's why I'm keep holding my breath, is I want to see what it's going to do security wise.
Right.
Is it going to stay okay? I do have to say, with all my new Windows 7 customers, I am installing the Microsoft Security Essentials. Because it's small, it's pretty fast,
yeah.
And from what I'm reading and actually seeing in practice, it does do a very good job of protection.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it locks down some of the stuff that a lot of the malware detection mm-hmm. that even AVG and some of the ones we've always liked do a terrible job of blocking that malware to begin with, whereas it seems like the Windows Security Essentials will actually clean up Internet Explorer and block a lot of those holes in Internet Explorer the other ones don't. So,
which is interesting, because part of the reason in the past that there was so many holes in a lot of these products was because of legal reasons. Because more than half the time, probably 70% of the time, we get an infection on our computer from spyware.
Yeah.
It's because we agreed to some either event, like downloading a product. We talked earlier with the gentleman about downloading information from the internet, or maybe you agreed to visit a website and you had to click I agree somewhere, or just by the very fact of visiting a website that's a little bit of squirrely, that is going to cause problems. So you got to be really, really careful, and we're just going to see how Windows 7 does. But overall, I do have to say it's working pretty well. I do still recommend that you get nothing less than 4 gigs of RAM
right
when you're shopping for a new one. Good news is I haven't seen very many computers, even on the very low end, that don't have 4 gigs of RAM. I went out and bought a new Hewlett-Packard desktop two weeks ago. I got it. There was two left. I missed out the first time that Office Max had a sale, and then I got a coupon in the mail, and they had the sale again.
Good.
So I got it for $589.
Very cool.
This was 8 gigs of RAM,
750
hard drive, quad-core processing. I mean, it's a crazy machine in terms of specs, and it's running pretty darn good.
Right. So $5,000 Macintosh, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I keep looking. I mean, it's amazing the specs that are in it.
Yeah.
So for me, it's going to work just fine.
Very cool.
So we'll see what happens.
It'll Twitter okay?
Yep, good. I did. I Twittered what I had for breakfast.
Very good. Very
all right, 241-8801 is the phone number, 241-8801, extension 1. So give us a call. If you're looking to buy some kind of technologically related gift this holiday season, call us up.
Yeah.
We'll kind of guide you into maybe saving some money and guide you into the proper purchase, or at least asking the right questions.
Yep. We'll talk about gifts and tech gifts and all of that stuff after we come back. We have to do a quick,
this is the calendar, KFM calendar.
KFM calendar. We'll be right back. All right.
Welcome back.
We are back. This is Adam Cochran and Rick Castellini talking about technology as it relates to the average human.
We try to. We try to keep it down to where it's understandable. And if we're not, we want you to call us on it. Say, hey, what in the heck are you saying? Explain that in English.
Yep.
And we will do our best to do so. Our phone number is 241-8801, extension 1. 970 is the area code if you're calling from out of the area. 970-241-8801, extension 1. Light these boards up here. We'd like to talk to you and get you pointed in the right direction with your technology questions. We did get a tweet from John Guitarman. He says, don't forget to let iPhone listeners know that there is a public radio tuner application. And I keep forgetting, he's told me this before, I need to get it, that will stream public radio, public community radio, on your iPhone. And he says he's listening right now in Missouri. And we appreciate the tip, John, and we appreciate you listening out there in Missouri.
Another thing you can do with your iPhone. Hello, you're on Public Affairs Technology Show with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
Hi, this is Chuck. I was wondering about AVG, and I reloaded the operating system on my XP, and I wanted to download it on my Ubuntu and transfer it over to the AVG before I went online.
He has an Ubuntu machine, and you have a Windows machine. Is that right?
Correct.
And you're wanting to download it on Ubuntu, and then
Carry it over to
PC. Okay, and are you just wanting to know how to do that?
Yeah, because I keep going up on AVG, and it always gives me this little short download that
it gives you the
you, and that doesn't do
it. Yep.
Where you need to start is helpmerick.com.
Yep, that's where I've been.
And if you go down to the very bottom, page 1, it might be on the beginning of page 2, or just search for AVG 9. I have a link there that will get you directly to the full download.
Okay, because, I missed that.
Yeah, because what they're doing these days with AVG is they're, and I hate this
I do too.
Tendency
I hate
they're
installers.
Doing. Yeah, they're downloading a little helper file.
Right.
And the helper file, like you mentioned, just very small, so it's not really doesn't help you anything. So, yeah, go to my website, AVG, and then search for AVG9, and you will find the instructions. And the link I have in the article is directly to the installation files at AVG.
So I just, whoops, duh, you don't put that in the newsletter.
Yeah, it was in last week's newsletter.
No, I mean, you don't put it in the newsletter box for to find.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
no,
yeah, no.
That
yeah, go to the search
well.
Box. Yep.
Yep.
All right, we'll try that.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Thanks.
241-8801, extension 1. That's how it works. You call up with your questions. We'll answer the questions. We'll just like bowling. You set them up. We'll knock them down.
There you go.
241-8801, extension 1. Okay, back to shopping.
Yeah.
Adam, what do you think would be? What do you think might be the hottest technology gadget this year?
That is a tough one because
nothing.
There's nothing really that stands out.
Right.
There's a lot of things that I think are useful to a lot of different people out mm-hmm. there. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of people.
Well, let's do it this way. If we were given, if we wanted to give a tech gift mm-hmm. to a loved one.
Sure.
And we wanted to spend $200 and over, where would you start?
Over.
Where would you start?
I would start at either a laptop. I'd probably start at a laptop.
Okay.
Around $400 or $500, get him a laptop. I think that's an excellent gift for almost anybody. A MacBook being the best. I would love to give a MacBook.
Then you're going to be at $999.
Yeah.
Unless you buy refurbished.
Yeah, or yeah, you go refurbished, or you can go to some websites. There's Mac Mall and some of those who have it less, but we're still talking $1,000 once we do shipping and all of that.
But I think they're worth it.
They're out of the box. It's going to come with everything that you really need, mm-hmm. minus a good text program for editing text, but you just download OpenOffice, which is a free one, and you'll mm-hmm. have that problem taken care of. But you'll have a photo managing program. You'll have a movie editing program. All of that stuff will be there, but you also don't have to worry about antiviruses. It's going to be very, very snappy. It's going to be easy to get online with.
Don't you think that overall, an Apple computer lasts at least 25% longer than a PC?
Now, I don't know. Well, lasting, I mean, that depends on how long the hardware goes.
Well, but I mean, if all the hardware,
if you bought a
new PC today and a new Apple today.
Right. And let's say both of them are still running in 10 years from now or 5 years from
now. The Apple's going to be more functional.
That Apple's going to be more functional, which does two things. A lot of Apple people do replace their equipment, you know, every 5 years or so. Mm-hmm. But
I think overall, I would say less often than a PC user.
Yeah. But the interesting thing about a Mac is that it has a high resale value.
Right.
If you go online or go through the ads and you try to find a good 3 or 4 year old Mac, mm-hmm. it's still going to cost you $500 or $600.
Right.
Whereas a PC is going to cost you $150 or, you know, whatever.
If you're not getting ripped off.
Yeah. So what I like to do is rotate your stuff. Go ahead and sell the old one. That's going to pay for 50% of the new one. And you can get a whole new machine in 5 years for, you know, $600 or $700. You can get a $1,500 machine. So,
right.
And just keep rotating through them.
So I agree. I think a MacBook is a great higher end laptop to consider for a gift, but there are a lot of good deals right now in fact, there was one this weekend in one of the circulars for a 3 gigabytes of RAM, I think a 500 hard drive, maybe a 350 hard drive or whatever the next one under is,
right,
for $399.
A lot of them, and that a lot of those are regular price too. If you go to Walmart of all places and look at their rack of laptops, they don't have a single one that's over $600. Every one
it's
of
Walmart.
Them is. Well, you know what I mean. It's still, they're still name brands: Toshiba, HP, and Dell.
Right, right.
And there's a whole row of them there.
And we've talked about this before. The fact of the matter is that, I will stand by this any day of the week.
Right.
Easily 80% of the people that I see, computer users that I help in small businesses and in homes, have no need for anything more.
No.
Those computers that are $300, $400, $500,
exactly.
They'll get them by for
many
years.
If I was going out and shopping for myself, I would probably get one of those. In fact, the other thing I saw out there was a lot of $199 netbooks.
Right.
And so if people just want something to travel with, as if they're big into traveling, just get a little $199 netbook with a, I think most of them have a 120 gig hard drive or bigger. And that's something that's very portable. It's not going to do a lot of stuff, but it will store their photos, and a lot of people want to do that while they're traveling.
Right.
You know, do the basic stuff that they really want it to
do. And that's all it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Don't expect your laptop to be a business laptop.
Yeah.
Don't expect your netbook to be a business laptop, because it won't be. You'll be sorely disappointed.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be a type of machine you can work on for 3 or 4 hours at a stretch. It'll just be too frustrating, and it's hard to see.
Yeah, in fact, that last week, I think it was, I wrote an article about netbooks versus notebooks on talkingdigital.org that was, you know, just trying to clarify that both of them have a market. They're both very good machines, but you don't expect one to do the job of the other.
Exactly. And that's where, just quickly before we leave the laptops, that's where I like about the MacBooks. Because the MacBooks are powerful machines,
right?
But that little 13-inch MacBook, I think there's 3 or 4 of those models,
right?
They're extremely portable. They're all about 4 pounds or less, very thin, less than an inch in height, easy to cart around, and it's a full capability laptop in almost, in just, you know, it's obviously a little bit bigger, but almost a netbook type portability.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
What else? Okay, so if we're gonna go, let's say under $200 or $300, where would you look?
My favorite device of this year is not necessarily this model.
ThighMaster?
Yes. No, not the ThighMaster.
That was in the 80s, sorry.
That's right. My favorite device this year this trend, it doesn't have to be this brand, but those little flip video cameras, the Palm video cameras, they don't have zoom lenses on them to say, I mean, it's digital, but there's no such thing as a digital zoom. It's just fragmented pixels, these little flip video cameras allow you to just take it out, videotape something of very high quality, DVD quality, and in some cases HD.
They're about the height of two, maybe not even two.
I'd say they're a little bit bigger than an iPhone, or about the same size as an iPhone or your average cell phone.
There you go.
They're about that same size.
A little bit thicker, maybe. Mm-hmm. But very portable.
So very, very portable, and it just gives you the ability to take video on a whim, and you'd be surprised how often I pull mine out and record something. I just love it, and it gives you the ability to upload that to YouTube. You can create this little YouTube account
to Facebook
or Facebook, YouTube, Facebook, and share those videos with your family. Some of them, the Kodak models and a few others, even take stills. Kodak and JVC and I think Samsung, some of them even take still pictures. My little Kodak takes 5-megapixel stills that are fairly decent. Not the same as what you'd get from a regular camera. But the flip video cameras, I just love them. I've bought one for every person in my family.
Good enough technology,
they call it.
And it's good enough to do the things you want to do without breaking the bank.
Exactly.
And you can get one for well under $100, can't you?
If you get them online, you can get an older model for under $100. Around 120 is about what they cost.
That's the sweet spot.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's when you're going to get HD. You're going to get, you know, a little bit sturdier camera. But the neat part is they have a little USB port that flips out of the side, so you don't have to carry extra cables. They're even designed so they don't need lens caps or, you know, anything. They're rechargeable, so you just
all in
plug
one.
Them in and it charges them up. Yeah.
Good question. How much charge do you get on your particular flip video?
Of straight recording, probably about 45 minutes.
Okay.
Which isn't very much.
But you're not supposed to be shooting full-length films anyway.
No. When we're on vacation, I pull out a little thing and I shoot for maybe a minute and a half, 45 seconds, something like that. Record that, and that's all I really want. I go home and I dump it. I think the people who turn on their cameras and record straight for 2 hours never go back and watch those videos.
Right.
Our videos, we actually go back and watch when we get home because they're so short and they're interesting. They're like miniature snapshots of our vacation.
Well, and that becomes, I think, the next learning process is when we were kids and our parents had the old 8mm videos, and myself, when I had my young children, when they were young, had just the regular 8mm tapes, you tended to leave the darn thing on way too long.
Yeah.
And unless you go back and edit it, they are not interesting.
Yeah.
Granted, I love my children.
Right.
But those are not interesting videos.
I think that there's times when I have the times that I still leave my camera on.
Mm-hmm.
We still set up a video camera and record the entire opening of all the presents on Christmas. And we actually have gone back. We don't think that they're interesting the following year.
Mm-hmm.
But now we actually have gone back.
Because now the kids are 12.
Now the kids are a lot older. And it's fun to watch them when they were 1 and 2 squeal and open their
presents. But you watch the entire hour?
We fast forward through stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, we do keep it there. And it's interesting. And in fact, we kind of just leave it on and kids coming in and out of the room or whatever. But I think in general, birthdays, we don't do that. And pretty much every other holiday, we don't really do
that. But it becomes a fun hobby again. And it also makes you appreciate how hard it is to make an interesting
right.
video,
yeah.
whether it be 90 seconds or whether it be a full-length feature
right.
film. If you start doing a little bit of that, you think, you know,
yeah.
gosh, now I see what goes into
but
that.
But now there's so many online tools. YouTube has a great little video editor where you can put titles in mm-hmm. and transitions and all of that stuff and make videos, upload them, and
yep.
share them with your family. All right, let's answer the phone. Hello, let's you're on...
Talk to the listeners.
Yeah, talk to them. Hello, you're on Public Affairs with Rick and Adam talking about technology. What can we do for you?
I have a camera that takes video clips.
Right.
Okay.
It's a new camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it takes them in like a 1280-pixel
So that's considered the high definition,
clip.
Yeah.
When I go to download it to a CD to make a CD with pictures and video clips, the video clips, the audio works fine, but the video clips do not.
Okay. Off of the CD.
Pardon me?
Off of the CD, correct?
Right, off of the CD.
And are you trying to play them on your DVD player? Is that what you're trying to do?
Yes.
Ah.
I've been using a DVD disc
mm-hmm.
to do it.
Right.
I don't know how to correct that.
Are you using a program to create a DVD movie?
No, you just copy it.
Yeah, I'm been using Picasa.
Right, he's just copying.
Oh,
the,
okay.
You're just copying the pictures and the video over to the disc. And what you need to do, if you want to play the video from your cameras, from your video camera or your flip video or your digital camera, that's going to be in a computer video format. And then what you need to do is you need to have a video editing software that's going to convert that into a DVD video format.
Yeah.
They're two different kinds of formats.
Are you using, what version of Windows are you using?
XP.
Okay, you'll have to get a video editing program. There's simple ones and complex ones out there. Most of them that I've used in the past that are pretty good are made by a company called Pinnacle. Pinnacle.
Okay.
And on a PC, Pinnacle is a good little video editing program, but it'll let you arrange the clips and add titles and transitions. But then what it does is it renders the video into a format that DVD players can read. And it records
okay.
into a DVD.
Yeah, because most DVD...
Yeah, it played back fine on my computer, and the
right.
camera that I had prior to this worked fine.
Oh, it also played just fine on your DVD player?
Yeah.
Well, that makes
sense.
You
know, when
I
take a DVD or something, it would play fine, but I think it was in a smaller
yeah.
pixel.
Well, there's
format.
There's tons of different video
exactly.
formats. There's .mov, which is an Apple format. There's AVI, which is a Microsoft format. A lot of...
And then there's all kinds of what they call codecs
right.
amongst those.
Yeah, your previous camera probably recorded an MP4 format, which is the format that DVD players read. And your new camera probably doesn't. So you'll probably have to get a video editing program of some sort. They start at about $40 usually.
See,
you might
find it used
online.
To be that DVD players wouldn't even read a photo disc, period. But then that's become almost a standard feature across the board where you can drop in a photo CD or DVD and it'll read all the JPEGs. But I think it's going to be a little harder until there's more standardization for them to do the same thing with video.
Let me ask you this. Is it possible to, say, take the camera uses a ScanDisc card, take it to, say, Sam's Club or something like that, have them make a video?
Yeah, it is, but you're going to pay, yes, but you're going to pay almost as much, well, probably as much as what it would cost for that software for them to do it. You're looking at $20 at least for them to do one disc.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, because I thought, well, maybe I could do that and copy these discs. I want to send them out to friends and stuff, and then,
Well, you can still, the thing is, you can still copy them over and just tell them, look at them on your computer instead of your TV. But if you want it to play in a regular DVD player, you're going to have to use a video editing software to do it. There's no other way of doing it.
Well, even when I see, so... Yeah.
We wish there was an easier answer, but unfortunately there isn't.
Now the other, as a gift, there's no way of doing it. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Pinnacle, and where would I get that? Do I
just
get
about
that
anywhere that sells it? No, well, you can, but even Office Depot and Best Buy both carry it as well.
Okay, I'll try it.
There was one other one other company, Adam, that made some simple video editing software too. What was our other company? Not Pinnacle. It was
Dazzle. That's not what you're thinking.
No, not Dazzle.
Dazzle got bought by Pinnacle.
It used to be Photo Image, Photo Mad, Photo...
Oh, ULEED.
ULEED.
ULEED makes
ULEED.
Some, too.
Yeah,
that's
so
right. ULEED does make some.
It's just the letter U and then LEAD, ULEED.
Yep.
And that's another good company with some good, easy-to-use software for that kind of thing.
Okay, great. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Good question. And I think that's also going to be the neat part about the next 10 years is we're starting already to see the melding of computer technology and television technology.
Yeah.
And we're going to start seeing that. Our televisions are going to be connected to the internet, all of us.
Yeah.
No matter how expensive you are, your TV is. Of course, when you buy a new one. And then you'll be able to stream all this stuff from the internet.
Uh-huh.
And you won't have to figure out the technology part of converting video and knowing what a codec is and all that crazy stuff.
Well, you know, something along these lines that I didn't have on my list, but I think maybe we should give some time to, that's kind of cool, is Netflix. Netflix is a very cool service now.
Always been, but getting better all the time.
It started out as a service to just exchange DVDs in the mail. You say you want a DVD, they send it to you, you watch it, keep it for as long as you want, you return it, they send you the next DVD, and you keep the list on your computer. But now they've got into a thing called streaming. And streaming is where you can go in and find thousands, tens of thousands, I don't remember how many exactly the movies are, but thousands of movies at least.
It's not their whole library yet.
No, but you'd be surprised how many videos are there. I mean, it's massive. And you can watch them in real time if you have broadband internet. You can get a little box called a Roku box, R-O-K-U, this little Roku box. You can hook it up to any TV and then hook the internet into it, and you can watch your Netflix movies on any TV.
Mm-hmm.
In real time, and we use that. That's the best part of it. We probably watch one DVD for every 5 to 7 streaming videos via Netflix. If you have an Xbox, that's how we do it. We watch them through the Xbox.
You do have to have a high-speed internet
connection. You have to have broadband, and you really do. The faster the broadband connection, the better. But the larger the TV set, the more that matters, too, because smaller TV sets, the video quality doesn't matter quite as much. But if you want to watch HD movies on a big screen, you need to have probably Bresnan internet if you're here in town, a cable internet service to get the best quality. But we love it. We watch TV shows. My son's going through a thing called Mystery Science Theater 3000 that they've just posted every episode they've ever done on there. And just old movies you'd probably never watch otherwise, but hey, they're free. They're right there. You can just click them on and start watching them. And if you don't watch the whole thing, you turn it off, log in later on, and it just picks up from where you left off the last time.
Well, and I think where it's going to happen with that, Adam, is with DVR. This is what I'm hoping is going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think it is, but it's going to take a while, I think, with advertising and stuff like that.
Right.
Is if you think about your average cable or your satellite system that you buy the service, you probably use maybe 5% of the channels.
Sure.
You know, we all have just a handset of channels. You may roll through the channels time to time.
Yeah.
But on a regular basis, using 5% of the channels. So it's almost like a waste of money. And there's always been that thing, why can't we have an a la carte type system?
Right.
That's kind of what Netflix is building.
Netflix is building the a la carte system. Also, if you have your TV hooked up to a computer, you can go to almost any network's website and watch full episodes of that network shows
right
there on the computer. You have it hooked up to a TV, which most TVs have some way of doing now, and TV has become a la carte.
Yeah, if you missed last night's episode of Survivor,
you
can watch it anytime just by going to the NBC website or CBS website.
Yeah, we have some. I have another method that I get my cable TV through that it's subsidized, so I don't have to pay for my cable TV. But if I did have to pay for my cable TV, I would cancel it. I'd keep my broadband internet. I don't really have that much use for TV itself. It's very, very rare that I turn on the TV.
Right. I hear you. All right, 241-8801, extension 1. We have just a few minutes left. 241-8801, extension 1. But we can answer one or two more quick questions. So give us a call if you'd like. And what else do you have on your list there?
Another item, too, that some people might not think about, that they're getting cheaper and cheaper, is a Bluetooth headset for a cell phone. Almost all cell phones now have Bluetooth in them, which is a little radio that lets you talk on the phone without any wires for, I'm going to say, 10 feet. 30 feet is what it's rated at. 10 feet is probably about right. But you just put that little Bluetooth in your ear. Now, you see the people who walk around the mall and they have the thing in their ear all the time.
That's, put a note in their box not to do that.
Yeah, but at the same time, it is very handy while you're driving, when you're doing things that you don't want to be distracted by holding a phone up to your ear. The Bluetooth, I think, is an excellent, excellent choice. Hello, you're on Public Affairs with Rick and Adam talking about technology. What can we do for you?
Yeah, this is Chuck in Grand Junction again.
Sure.
Talking about that stuff, what can you do? I lost my train of thought. train of thought. Isn't that awful? For your
was it for video or were you?
Yeah.
Your old VHS movies.
Well, you can call us back next month.
There you go.
All right. Write it down.
Yep, write it down. Submit it as a question on the website. We might answer it on there, too. So,
all right.
I know what he wanted to ask.
You did?
I think you want to know how to transfer your old VHS movies to DVD.
Take it to Snap Photo.
That's it. Or buy a machine that does it for you.
Yeah,
that's
there
a good
you
way
go
to do it. Okay.
But no, we were talking about the Bluetooth. Bluetooth headset, to me, I'm so used to my headset.
Yeah.
That I can't hold a handset up
right
to my ear anymore.
Yeah.
And if you have a loved one that does drive a lot and does have to be on the phone a lot, or just has to like to be on the phone,
right,
I think it's a great way to go. I hope that they don't outlaw the use of hands-free sets. I don't think they will.
I don't think they will yet. But
there's that slippery slope's always
driving,
there.
Even when we're not talking about driving, though, with today's smartphones, if you're talking on the phone and you need to look something up that's on the internet or on some stored somewhere on your phone,
right,
it only makes sense to have that Bluetooth, and it will make a big difference. People will see in
gives you that much more function.
The benefits of having that. It just means you don't have to pick up the phone. You can talk on the phone while you're typing on your computer, while you're writing
cooking
something down.
My wife cooks with her Bluetooth.
Absolutely.
On.
So it just gives you that independence of not having to hold a phone up to your ear. So little Bluetooth headsets.
And you can get them as little as $30.
Yeah, $20. I saw a couple in the paper for it.
They're all pretty decent.
I think they're going to be a big item this year. Yeah, I think the quality of today's $20 headsets is about the same as the $100 headsets a year and a half or 2 years ago.
Right.
So they're all good.
So
they
don't feel like you
quality
have to buy the $150 Bluetooth.
Right.
So, all right, well, cool. We should probably wrap it up.
Yep, we probably should.
This is This Week, This Month with Rick and Adam talking technology during the noontime public affairs. We'll be back again next month. Have a great Thanksgiving.
And we'll post this episode up on helpmerick.com here by the end of the day, probably.